Welcome to Necessary Conversations with Daryl M. Taliaferro. Conversations that are real, raw, and relevant. Let's get the conversation started now.
Hey, welcome to episode number 18 of Necessary Conversations. I'm so excited to have you on the journey today. On today's episode, I'm happy to have Sarah Fontenot. She's the founder of Disruptor Elite Group, a multifaceted entrepreneur and philanthropist, and she's an overall amazing person. And I want you to hear her story today. Hey, Sarah, what's up?
Hey, Daryl. I'm so honored and excited. And thank you again for the opportunity. I'm grateful. And I love what you're doing, what you're creating, and the access that you're providing for others. I love it.
Thanks so much, Sarah. You know, you have an amazing story.
Thank you.
It's a story of resilience, perseverance, and one that's indicative of being an overcomer.
Yes.
For the benefit of those listening today, who is Sarah Fontenot?
You know, I want to first and foremost kind of just give the disclaimer for those of you that are listening, that you've got to trust the process, the timing, and the confidence that happens inside of you and the things that are supposed to happen in your life, because I am from Regina, Saskatchewan. Yes, I said it right. And that's in Canada. And I moved from Canada to Los Angeles to pursue acting. So first and foremost, let's get this out of the way. I'm a cliche, you know?
Right.
And so I thought that I wanted to act, because where I grew up, I heard that success meant doctor, lawyer, engineer, or entertainment.
Right.
And I didn't want to be a doctor because everything makes me queasy. Like blood, I'm like, oh God, get me out of here.
Right.
As far as like a lawyer, I really thought that I could be a lawyer because I have very strong debating skills. But then I looked in to see, you know, what was required. And I was like, you know, honestly, I don't want to invest in reading about things I'm not interested in.
Right.
Like I have to have some kind of passion to do something. And my mom is an engineer, and I was like, I don't want to do what my mom does.
Mm-hmm.
So entertainment. And so I moved from Los Angeles, or from Regina to Los Angeles. And, you know, I kind of backtracking and just the intro that you gave made me think of how we're set up from birth for failure. You know, I so often, and I'm sure you've heard this question before, Daryl, but people will ask you, you know, what do you want to be when you grow
right.
up? What this, what that,
yep.
you know, how much do you want to make?
Right.
And that's all good and great, but what is connected to achievement, whereas who is connected to fulfillment? And so for me, I was never really asked the question of who do I want to be? How do I want to show up? How do I want to make people feel? You know, what kind of lifestyle can you create out of who you're being? And so I realized when I started diving into, you know, all the seminars and personal development and asking myself those questions of who does Sarah want to be, I realized I've always wanted a platform to reach out to more people. That's why I went after entertainment. But if I'm a big time actress, I can't give my roles away.
Right.
Actually, actors don't have a lot of power in the industry whatsoever. So I can't give you the blueprint for what I did. I could teach you how to act, but I can't create access. And so for me, I understood that I wanted to create access and opportunity for other people. And so, you know, I moved at 20 years old by myself from Little House on the Prairie. Okay. I actually, in visiting my hometown, I realized that the city I grew up in, from the farthest north end to the southest south end, is 4 miles long.
Wow.
4 miles. Yeah. So I moved from a small city to big time Los Angeles. And, you know, I started asking myself all these questions. I went to school. I did all of these things. And I realized that, you know, inside of life, and this is one of my life mantras, one of the things I funnel everything into, is that things go wrong so that life can go right.
Right.
And so I've always trusted what God has said, put on my life. I've always trusted, you know, that like I'm not going to fail. I might fall, I'll trip, but I'm never going to be an absolute failure, because I'm never going to quit going after the purpose that I believe is inside of me.
That's right.
Put there for me to share with others. Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit about me. I'm grateful to God that I've accomplished a lot of things and I've achieved a lot of things. But really and truly, my heart work is for people to know that they can be, do, and have anything they want to be, do, and have the minute that they decide, they commit, they make aligned action, they stay consistent, and they watch their story unfold. And it never looks like what we plan,
right.
ever. But it's always a good story if you're willing to keep trooping forward.
No, that's amazing. And one of the things that I like that you mentioned is about your heart work. And there's a difference between heart work and hard work. Yes. So often we are defined by our hard work, that we forsake our heart work.
Yep.
And it appears as if in your life you've been really surrounded by heart work and what makes you happy, notwithstanding the hard work that it took you to get there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you consider the idea of a disruptive perspective, where did that come from? Like, how did that occur? Because ultimately, you know, all of us have a perspective of what our lives will be. Often we take either our perspective or the perspectives of our parents or our aunts, mm-hmm, our uncles, mm-hmm, or mentors around us, and we try to live out their expectation for ourselves.
Yeah.
Or we say, you know what? Okay, let me finally try to live for me. And then we have our own perspective. But there comes a point in time where that perspective has to be disrupted. Where did that come from for you?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I've always known that I wanted to be something great. I've always known that. I've always been like, I just want to help people and I want to help them to help themselves. And I want to be able to help myself because honestly, 9-10 years ago, I was the girl calling my mom saying, can you please help me pay my rent?
Right.
I was the girl that would look at my mobile banking before I would order food because I didn't know what I could afford. And there was no such thing as entrees on a menu. Like, look at the burgers and fries, look at the appetizers,
yeah,
you know?
Right.
And so with that, I knew that my current circumstance and situation was not where I was always going to be. So for those of you that may be in a space where you want to disrupt your perspective, but you don't know how, is number one, you've got to believe in what it is that you're going after and how I derived it. I knew that I was a disruptor. I've always been like kind of a rebel. I've always been resilient. I've seen that in my parents. My dad ruptured a disc in his back when I was 10 years old. We went from a 2-family income household to one. My mom was going to school full time to get her master's in engineering. I have a million brothers and sisters. My parents love each other way too much. And, you know, and she had a full-time job and then also my dad's injury. So I've always seen poise and show up with a smile on your face, even though behind the scenes, you may have been struggling or you may have been crying. And there's a moment in my life where I had this pivotal moment and I saw my mom in the middle of the night crying over her homework. And in a few hours, she would have to get all of us up to go to school in the morning. And then there's my dad and then there's work and then there's school and all of those things. That was the only time that I ever saw it. But I never knew that behind the curtain, there's my mom, literally my superhero, my encourager, my role model, crying, breaking down over her homework, over probably life, over the stresses. But when she showed up for us in the morning, she had a smile on her face. Mm. She was always loving and encouraging. And so for me, it was little moments like that where it's like, okay, I'm going to show up the same way every single day, no matter what may be happening in my life, because what we think about is what comes about. And so it's these little pivotal moments, you know, when you connect the dots, only looking back will you get the dot. That's a pivotal point in our lives to make the whole picture.
Right.
And with my disrupted perspective, I didn't know what to call it. And honestly, it was a post that I did on social media. This is probably 3 years ago. And a post that I did on social media, and I do really long captions on my social media. I put my whole heart and soul into my captions.
Right.
And the caption of it was, or the title of the caption was, "Be the CEO your mom wanted you to marry."
Wow.
And now that's like a trending thing to say, but really and truly, it wasn't at that time. And so when I posted it, there was a woman and she read my entire caption and she said, "Wow, Sarah, you're going to disrupt a lot of perspectives with that." And I was like, "Oh,
yeah, yeah,
that's it. Oh my gosh." Because I had been seeking, like, what is my thing? You know, what is it called? And I thought it was the I Wonder Project. I thought it was women winning. I thought it was more than a face. I literally had all of these things swirling. And then lo and behold, a woman came and put a name to it.
Yeah.
And so I started the Disrupted Perspective Motivation Mindset t-shirt line. And I really live by that. But I realized that it's moments all throughout our lives that disrupt our perspective. It's seeing your friend make it. It's listening to the books. It's watching how your parents interact. And they're either teaching you good habits or they're teaching you bad habits.
Right.
They're either showing you what you do want or showing you what you don't want. And
wow.
It's what we do with it and what we choose to believe in that's going to create the difference inside of our lives.
Wow, that's amazing. And you know, 2020 has taught all of us the goal and the importance of resilience.
Yes.
And when you talk about the idea of a disrupted perspective, 2020 really came and disrupted all of our perspectives on the importance of life,
yep.
the importance of relationships. We're now in the year 2021.
Right.
How important is it to pivot in life when our perspective does become disrupted?
I think it's essential. If we are unable to adapt, then we'll never get to where we want to get to. Because as we evolve, our problems do too.
Right.
And usually faster than we do. Right. So there's always going to be a COVID, quote unquote, called by a different name, happening in our lives.
Right.
And over 80% of the gurus and the people that people are inspired by daily either started from some kind of global crash or national crash or their own financial struggles, their own world crumbling down. There's always going to be something. For those of you that are listening, you know, some of you may not have been affected as much by COVID.
Right.
You know, I mean, maybe not as directly as others have massively been affected,
right.
you know, and on the turn side, maybe it'll be that relationship where you've got to dig deep inside of yourself and figure out a way to adapt if a relationship ends. Or maybe it's losing someone
right.
where you've got to dig deep and adapt. You know, there's always going to be something that makes us want to throw in the towel.
Right.
But it really comes back into, you know, are you willing to believe in yourself? Are you willing to say things go wrong so that life can go right?
Yeah.
Now, what are we going to do about it?
That's good. And I like the question. So what are we going to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to disrupt your own life?
Yes.
And sometimes, you know, you can feel stuck
mm-hmm.
in a place of woe is me, or I'll never get there. I'll never advance. I'll never grow.
Yes.
But Sarah is telling you right now the importance of disrupting your perspective
mm-hmm.
and how when you disrupt your perspective, it literally changes the trajectory of your life.
Yeah.
So Sarah, when you consider your life, right, you are a young lady who comes from Canada,
mm-hmm.
came to the United States to really have a new lease on life, so to speak.
Yep.
You thought this is what you wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be in entertainment. I want to be an actress. I want to do a few things. But then you had a pivot in life. You had a disrupted perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're a philanthropist. You're doing business. How has that changed your outlook on life in general now?
Oh, my goodness. So many things have changed. Because, you know, oftentimes it's the shoulds and the coulds and the woulds that keep us stuck where we're at. Well, I should be married by now. I should have started a family by now. I should have. But if we're always living in what should be, then we're not living in what is. And if we're not living in what is, then how can you be present?
Right.
And if you can't be present, then how can you be happy? And if you can't be happy, then what else is there?
Right.
You know, and so for me, I strongly feel as though being able to disrupt, and the reason why I choose disrupt is because it's instant.
Yeah.
It's a shift. It's not this, well, maybe, because it takes seconds to change your mind.
Right.
Now, your circumstance and situation will not change in seconds,
yeah.
but making the decision to make them change can.
Right.
And so for me, what that looks like is, you know, I even think back to the first business when I first started in entrepreneurship, it was in multi-level marketing, you know, and I was able to build to the top 1.6% of the company, making six figures. Oh my gosh, the life was incredible,
right.
you know, traveling all over the world, speaking, doing all of these things. And then the company tried to tell me how I could post on my social media and how this, and I understand, and I'm so grateful for them. This is not to, you know, downplay. I think multi-level marketing is an incredible opportunity for people that don't have a lot of resources.
Right.
I truly do. I didn't have a lot of resources. I didn't have entrepreneurs in my family. I didn't even know what an entrepreneur
right.
was, you know? So I'm grateful for what I learned, and I needed that. But then they started to put parameters on who I could be. And a golden cage is still a cage.
That's right.
And so that was another moment where I had to choose. Am I going to live by someone else's rules or am I going to pivot?
Right.
Am I going to adapt?
Right.
And I let it go. I had to pivot. I had to figure things out. There was definitely times where I was like, Sarah, what on God's green earth are you actually thinking?
Yeah.
Like, this does not make any sense, you know, and if you never doubt yourself, then your goals probably aren't big enough.
Right.
Because there should be a level of challenge. There should be a level of like, who am I to think that I could possibly achieve that?
That's
well,
right.
Who are you not to?
Right.
You know, why not you?
Right.
You know, so I think that being willing and able to pivot inside of business, inside of relationships, and disrupt it
right
where it's right now. It's happening like in seconds you make that decision. That is an absolute game changer.
That's right.
For people that are willing to commit, not just say it because they're excited or because they heard something or they read a book or they heard a seminar, but they are committed to it after the excitement is gone.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
After the feel good feelings are gone. And that's me through and through. A golden cage is a cage. And I'm here to tell you, you can build whatever it is that you want. And you don't have to live by anyone else's laws or rules other than natural law and rule, right? God's law and rule. Right. That's a little different. But as far as people go, I think it's really important for you to know who do you yeah want to be and know that it's going to come with those moments that you need to pivot.
That's good. So there's an amazing quote by Confucius that you have referenced. And it says, those who say they can and those who say they can't are both right.
Absolutely.
That's an amazing quote that I absolutely love. Because it's true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a Christian, I believe in the word of God. Mm-hmm. And the word of God says that death and life is in the power of the tongue.
Yep.
And ultimately, what you say with your mouth dictates and determines your reality.
Yes.
So it's important what you say about yourself.
Yes.
And what other people say about you or what other people say to you, how they define you, really is of little consequence.
Right.
To what you say about yourself.
Absolutely.
So how often do you say words of affirmation over yourself?
Yeah.
How often do you say, Sarah, you can do this. Sarah, you can make it.
Yep.
Sarah, you got this. How often do you do that?
Every day.
So why do you feel that, you know, some people struggle with that?
Oh my goodness. Sometimes people's affirmations, they feel so big that when they say them, they feel like a fraud.
That's good. You know, one of the things that I've noticed is that there is a lack of continuity between, you know, sometimes what people affirm and what they believe.
Yep.
But in order to affirm a thing, they must believe a thing.
Yeah.
If I say I'm going to make it, I actually must believe that I'm going to make it.
Yeah.
Right. Unpack that a little bit.
So two things that really rings true for me is that in order to attract and really believe that you can, right? Those who say they can, those who say they can't are both right. If you want to believe that you can, you have to believe it first. Now, everyone's going to tell you, you've got to believe in yourself. And I love that, but how?
Right,
if you're anything
exactly
like me, it's like, okay, I think I believe in myself, but nothing is changing, right?
That's right.
Well, for me, belief really breaks down to five very simple steps. A repetitious thought, awareness, evaluation, action, progress, creates a higher and newer level of belief. Well, what does that mean?
Right.
It means when you repetitiously think about something, like you put it on your phone, you put yeah it on your ceiling, you put it on the mirror. What happens is if you have a radar, you're expanding what you can see on your map,
yeah,
right? If you think about it, think like that car that you see, right? Now that you're thinking about it, feeling good about it, when you think about it, what starts to happen is you create a newer and higher level of awareness.
Right.
You may not have seen that car driving before.
Yeah.
You may not have known that the map was as large as it was and that it's growing.
Yeah.
So now you're more aware of it.
Yeah.
Now, I want people that are listening to keep in mind that if all you've ever seen your entire life is a map of the United States, as old as you are listening right now under the sound of my voice, if you've only ever seen a map of the United States, and now all of a sudden mm-hmm you've expanded your radar, you've expanded what you're aware of, and you now see a Japan, right? People are telling you, you can do this. You can be successful. That's what entrepreneurship is to your friends and your family members who have also only seen a map of the United States. So when you run to them and you tell them, I'm going to go to Japan,
right,
I'm going to be successful, I'm going to be an entrepreneur.
Right.
Sometimes the people who love you the most, they support you the least.
Exactly.
And it's not because they don't believe in you, right?
Right.
It's because they can't see your radar. They can't see your map, your blueprint. So they're trying to keep you safe in who you are.
That's good.
Instead of the potential of who you can be. So don't smite them. Don't be angry with them. Don't cut them off.
Right.
It's your opportunity to be the possibility. So now you say, you know what, Sarah, you're in Los Angeles, California. I want to get to Japan. Now that you're aware that it's there, now you can evaluate it. This is where I am. That's where I want to go. You can reverse engineer it. I don't care if you have to walk,
right,
hitchhike, bike ride, pogo stick, fly, get on a yacht, take a plane,
right,
get a boat, take a cruise. I don't know how on God's green earth you're going to get there. And to be honest, you won't know either.
Right.
But the truth of the matter is now that you know where you're going, you reverse engineer it, you can get into action.
Yeah.
If I get from my house to the airport, if I get in my house and I start a road trip, things might happen. Cars might break down. My legs might give out. Who knows what's going to happen on your journey once again?
Right.
But our biggest opportunity is to get into aligned action, not just frivolous action. A lot of people get caught up in the busy work and not in the productive work.
Exactly.
So you want to get into aligned action. Your action is going to give you progress. What happens is it's like, oh, well, I got this far. Maybe I can go a little bit further. Maybe I can test just a little bit more. Maybe this time, instead of 1 mile, I can get 1.8 miles further, right? And what starts to happen is your belief starts to affirm in your action, because now you're seeing that baby steps are possible for you. So when we bring it back to affirmations, you've got to believe in what you're saying,
right?
Thinking repetitiously about it, so you're aware about it, so you can evaluate it, so you can get into action on it and progress inside of it to believe in yourself more.
Right.
Now, let's say you're starting off in your entrepreneurial journey, mm-hmm. right? If you're brand new in entrepreneurship, and you've never made $10,000 in a year, and people are telling you, you know, you gotta declare that you're a six-figure earner. You've got to declare mm-hmm. that you're making $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know about you, Daryl, but when I started in entrepreneurship and I was calling my mom every month asking her to help me put gas in my car, or I would put $3 on pump five, you know,
right.
or my, be the light, Sarah, but my lights are shut off.
Yeah.
I could not see six figures
right.
earning Sarah. I couldn't see that.
Yeah.
It was so far away. And if I would have said it, I would have felt like a fraud.
So true.
And if I would have felt like a fraud, I don't feel good about it. And if I don't feel good about it, I push it away.
Right.
I don't pull it in. Right. What we think about is what comes about. Most people think about stress.
Yeah.
They think about their job. When they're at the job, they're thinking about how stressed out they are at their job. When they're off of their job, mm-hmm. they're thinking about all the stuff they got to do on their job.
Mm-hmm.
And no wonder why it's a cycle that happens, getting stuck inside of our jobs, because we're not taking the time to think about and feel how good something different could feel.
Right, exactly.
So I say all of that to say, instead of declaring, I am big goal, I am six-figure earner, reverse engineer it and declare the things that are in alignment with who you have to become to attract that thing.
Right.
So instead of saying, I am a six-figure earner, say, I am becoming the kind of person who.
Yeah.
I am becoming the kind of person who will be consistent in exposing my product to blank amount of people every single day.
Right.
When you know your ratios, right?
Yeah.
Because we know, as an example, if you're a six-figure earner, that's only $8,333 a month, which is $277 a day.
Right.
How many people do you have to expose your product or service to
yeah.
in order to make $277 a day? I am becoming the kind of person who will not be turned away by rejection. I am becoming the kind of person who will do the
right.
productive work inside of my business hours that I have set for my business. I am becoming the kind of person who, and what happens is you start to become that person. Again, higher and more evolved levels of belief, higher and more evolved levels of aligned action can only bring you to your goal. And if you take off the timeline of how long it's going to take you, then anything and all things are possible. So for me, when I affirm, I reverse engineer and I celebrate every single small goal,
right.
every single small goal. Now, my small goals now are much larger than before.
Yeah.
You know, the things that I have now I used to dream about, you know, and I write it down.
Mm-hmm.
I see it. I visualize it. I literally, sometimes I'm by myself in tears, listening to movie score music, feeling that moment as if I'm in it in that moment. And that is how I manifest all things inside of my life.
Right.
You know, just to give you an example, for 3 years, I wanted to buy my mom her dream car,
mm-hmm.
and this is the year that happened. You know, there's been so many things that I've just been blessed, but also I've been intentional,
right.
and I've been aligned.
Right.
Some people get so caught up in their circumstance and situation,
right.
that they let it rob them, or they surrender their destiny.
Wow.
You know, you got to change what you focus on what matters, get into aligned action, and affirm it. You've got to believe it, but affirm something something that you believe is true. It doesn't have to be the big goal. Now I feel good saying pretty much anything because life looks a lot different, you know, but it has to resonate in your heart and in your soul.
That's good. That's amazing, Sarah. You know, one of the things that I often share with individuals is the difference between a situational mindset and a success mindset.
I love that.
And it kind of gets at what you were talking about. No matter what your situation is, no matter what you have going on, you cannot allow your situation to dictate and to determine your not yet.
Right.
But it's not good enough to just talk about it. You have to put action behind your words.
Come on.
The Bible says faith without works is dead.
Mm-hmm.
So you can sit on your couch, put words in a journal. You can say, hey, this is what's going to happen. But if you don't get off your couch and move forward, nothing is going to happen at the pace that you want it to happen.
Yes.
When you started in entertainment and then you pivoted, was it difficult for you to really say, you know what, let me do this? Or did your circumstance necessitate, if I don't do something now, it's not going to happen?
Well, I'm a rebel. And sometimes me and God, that's my homie, you know, like really and truly, I feel like I could walk into a room of 1,000 people and God would be like, that's my Sarah.
Yeah.
You know, like I know him and he knows me.
Right, right.
And so when I was trying to pivot, I knew that I wanted to do something different from when I was inside of multi-level marketing. I knew that I kept hearing like different Sarah, bigger Sarah,
yeah.
different Sarah, bigger, but I didn't want to listen. It actually took me 3 years for me to actually pivot.
Yeah.
Even though I was hearing different Sarah. And what I've realized is the longer that I don't listen, the crazier the situation is that I have to now get out of.
Right.
It's like I'm digging myself into a hole.
Exactly.
Right. And it's like, I could have just walked, right? Now I have to climb out of what I dug myself into because I didn't want to listen.
Oh yeah.
And so for me, I'm not the person, I don't have an easy story, you know? And I think that's what makes it relatable in the sense where so many different things that God has been like, different Sarah, different Sarah, different. And I didn't listen. You know, I always tell people again, it doesn't matter where you start. Every champion started out as an amateur.
So true.
I've failed more than so many people. Yeah, I live this great life now.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm the person that I've been engaged twice, right? Public humiliating fails. I've failed inside of business. Mm-hmm. I lost so much money messing stuff up because I'm rebellious. So if I could, don't be like me. I mean, I guess if you want to learn the lesson now, as I get older, I'm definitely way more coachable.
Yeah.
Being coachable is really essential. Having a mentor, you know, you could learn so much and avoid so much trouble if you would not be hard-headed and stubborn.
So true.
But for me, it was almost like I pushed myself to a level where I had to pivot.
Right.
Because I wasn't listening at first.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you have started something called Disruptor Elite Group. And a part of that is you have various opportunities for individuals to grow, to develop. Tell us a little bit about that and how individuals can be a part of it.
Yeah. So I started the Disruptor Elite Group because I have a very premium high ticket one-on-one service. And so I don't have the opportunity to work with people one-on-one much anymore. But I really, my heart work is in helping people to help themselves to get out of their own way mentally and emotionally. And so the online course, there's 8 modules and then there's bonuses as well. But the first module for me is the most important, where it focuses on the mindset, developing a success mindset and who you have to become in order to attract or be, or, you know, do the things that it is that you want to be, do, or have. And so there's that, the success mindset. It goes into how to overcome your limiting beliefs. How there are so many how-tos in that first module. You're getting clear on what it is that you want to be. And then there's extras, you know, how to start your business, how to find your purpose, how to make time for your business, how to do Facebook ads, how to grow your social media. There are so many different things that are inside of that course. But for me, I really think the bread and the butter and the focus is for people to get out of their own way. And I have to tell you, Daryl, you know, there's 2 statistics that just blow my mind. A lot of people think that what they struggle with is resources and tools and strategy. Well, after doing a lot of research and working with so many people, what I've found is the statistic is true that 2 out of 3 people struggle with low self-esteem, which means they don't even trust their own ability to get things done. They don't trust themselves. And then the next statistic is that 67% of people don't think that anyone would mind if they died.
Wow, that's tough.
Yeah, so So that's 2 out of 3 people that don't believe in their own abilities. 67% of people question their purpose, question if they're here for a reason, question who they are and why they're here, right? And so most people are not struggling with resources and tools or strategies. Most people are struggling with worthiness.
Yeah.
And when we start to really identify and take in, and I love that you said, you know, you're speaking my favorite scriptures. Life and death lies in the power of the tongue, but faith without works is dead.
Yeah.
And so for me, I think about in Genesis, where God took clay, blew into it to form Adam. And for me, what I feel that blew, I feel like that spirit, right? So God blew spirit into Adam and then made Eve from Adam. That godly spirit was inside of them. And if that's where all of us came from, then that godly spirit is inside of every single one of us.
Right.
So if God is in every single one of us, then God doesn't have limits.
Right.
Why would you put a limit on yourself? And so one of our biggest opportunities is to remember who we really are, what we really are, whose we really are, and create whatever it is that we want to become. Worthiness is a birthright. And so my heart work, like I said, not the hard work, my heart work is to help people to get out of their own way, because every single one of us are worthy. And then there are strategies and tools and how to, you know, systemize, delegate, automate. All that stuff is great, and it's great for business. But truly, most people aren't starting because they don't believe that they can, or that they deserve it, or that they're worthy of it.
Wow. That is so true. So true. And even when, you know, sharing with various individuals, it's exactly that. Well, I don't think I have what it takes. I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can do that. And when you can convince a person that they can, that is 75% of the battle.
Yeah.
You can do this. You can reach your goal. You can be resilient. You can persevere, and you can overcome. No matter what barriers are in your way, they're not too high that you can't get over. They're not too wide that you can't go around. No matter what barriers are there, bust through them, because you've got what it takes. Sarah, so many people may be listening to this and wonder, what's so special about Sarah? What would you say to that?
I'm no more special than anyone. I'm just a woman who decided to believe that I was worthy of it, and that I'm no more special than anyone on the planet. I have a crazy story, as I'm sure everyone listening does as well. It does not disqualify you. It does not discredit you. It does not devalue you. It just adds seasoning to the whatever it is that you're cooking, which means it's just going to taste that much better. Use it. Use the things that you've gone through. Know that things go wrong so that life can go right. And if you choose to believe it, anything and all things are possible.
Well, that's all the time we have for today's episode. I want to thank my guest, Sarah Fontenot, and I appreciate her being on today. Listen, I want to challenge each and every one of you, have a disrupted perspective. Regardless as to what others think of you, what is important is what you think of yourself. No matter what you think of yourself, make sure it's positive and make sure it's uplifting. Until next time, peace.
Thanks for listening to Necessary Conversations with Daryl M. Taliaferro. Follow us on social media at Necessary Conversations Podcast. Join the conversation by leaving a message on our website, necessaryconversationspodcast.com. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so you'll be notified every time a new one drops. Now, go have the conversations you need to have with the people you need to have them with.